I'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus the Messiah here was speaking to a Samaritan woman. He met her on the way into Galilee. He not only revealed that God must be worshipped according to the truth, he also revealed that God would be worshipped in spirit, and that he seeks those who will do so. Since men and women are made of flesh and can only understand through the five senses, how is it possible to worship God in spirit? To answer this question is helpful to understand how God administers his power. The Apostle John, in a letter that he wrote in 1 John 5:7, reads, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Apostle John is revealing here that there are three that work in unity in heaven. The Father, who is God, the Holy Ghost, also called the Holy Spirit of God, and the Word. John revealed in his gospel record that the Word was made flesh and came to this earth. He was speaking of Jesus the Messiah, the Christ sent from God. John also revealed there that God created the earth and its universe by him. And we can read that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Starting from verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. And if we skip down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we find that the Word, who came down here and put on the flesh and was named Jesus, was in the beginning with God, and he created all things. All things were made by him. God was administering his power. In Genesis, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We'll skip down to verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God said, let us make man in our image. That's plural. The account of the creation given by Moses here verifies what the Apostle John wrote over 1,000 years later. What Moses revealed is God's creation of the heaven and the earth was by the Word and his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit or Ghost is present to work all things that would be considered miraculous by mankind. Here in Genesis, it is God's Holy Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters in the creation of our earth. Some further examples of how God used his Holy Spirit throughout history help in understanding the administration of God's power. Go to Judges, which is in the Old Testament, chapters 15, verses 11 through 15, which is an account of Samson. A lot of people have heard about Samson. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came into Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. In this account we can see that the Holy Spirit of God came upon Samson, and he had the strength not only to break loose from his bonds, but also to slay 1,000 enemies of God through the power that was given him, the strength through the Holy Spirit of God. Another example would be in the book of 1 Samuel, which is also in the New Testament, 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Saul was the first king to the Israelites. And in this account here, we can see that he met some prophets. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he was able to prophesy. Again, a power that was given to him through the Holy Spirit of God. So understanding then that God's Holy Spirit works his will to enable a man or a woman to do what is impossible for them to do. It is now possible to understand how God can be worshipped in spirit. His power can be administered through the Holy Spirit, enabling a man or woman to worship God in spirit. A prophet sent to the Israelites named Joel prophesied that in the days of the Messiah, God would pour out his Holy Spirit upon men and women of all nations. And that's in the book of Joel, also found in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verses 27 through 29. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. So here we can see that Joel prophesied that in the days of the Messiah, that Spirit would be poured out upon all nations. In John, the Gospel of John, in the third chapter, verses 1 through 8, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus taught Nicodemus a man or a woman must be born again of the water and the Holy Spirit of God in order to see and enter into the kingdom of God. Only then can he be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Those that have not been born again into God's kingdom by water and His Holy Spirit remain in Satan's kingdom. And also in the Gospel of John, 14th chapter, verses 15 through 17, Jesus speaking, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." To all those who believe and obey the commandments that Jesus spoke, God will give His Holy Spirit to dwell in them, making it possible for Him to abide in them, guiding them into the truth of His words, comforting and strengthening them in the times of trial and temptation. And also in the Gospel of John, 7th chapter, verses 37 through 39, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The Apostle John records that Jesus the Messiah declared he would be the one to administer the Holy Spirit. John also revealed that this would not take place until Jesus was resurrected and given all power in heaven and earth by God his Father. After Jesus the Messiah was resurrected and ascended back into heaven, Peter, his chosen apostle, stood up before thousands of men and women in the city of Jerusalem. On the day of Pentecost, he preached Jesus had been made Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's found in Acts 2:38-39. And this is what Peter taught them to do. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Peter taught them to be born again of the water and the Holy Spirit of God, have their sins washed away, and they would receive that promise. In part 4 of the resurrections, more of what Jesus the Messiah revealed will be provided. Please take the time to listen and examine his words.